FM.
Oh, how good's democracy? I enjoyed casting my vote. I did a postal this year and Frankie, I had it on the kitchen table ready to fill it out and Frankie spilled her hot chocolate over it.
Oh, dear.
And I don't know if they're going to accept it. It's so, like, ripped and covered in chocolate.
And Albo's already made his acceptance speech. This could change the...
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's in the mail. So mine's still in the mail.
There's been a vote that's changed the outcome of the election and they're holding up, this is the vote. And you can just see a chocolate stain by your 10-year-old Frankie.
It's a dead heat. Imagine it's a dead heat. It's still hiding. The chocolate stain's just covering up, like, the vote. We can't see it.
There's this one vote. It's all stuck together.
Stuck together. I don't know if they're going to be able to open it.
Did you postal vote, Limo?
No. I voted early, though.
Oh.
And when I voted early, there were loads of people there. It was great. It's all very exciting.
But you get your sausage when you vote early?
No sausage when I voted early. But Kel went down to our lads' primary school and voted on the weekend. There's nothing there.
Uh-huh.
No sausages, no egg and bacon rolls.
No electro roll. No.
In fact, there was no one there. She scratched her vote on the side of the school. But yeah, there was no one there. She was really disappointed.
Aww. I voted about maybe 3:30 and I walked into the school just on Goody Road there. Mm. Walked in through the front gate. And the guy goes with a trailer attached to his four-wheel drive, goes, "Too late, Cozzo, we're all finished with the snags."
You missed them.
As he's getting in his car, he winds his window down. I go, "Ha ha ha, what, are you serious?"
And there were none left.
He goes, "No, all done." He goes, "We did 800 in the day and we finished about an hour ago."
Oh, good on him.
800. Yeah, James and Grace got to the polling booth at 7:30. They lined up and they were third in line. And the people in front had different opinions to Grace. And James said he had to shush her because she wanted to pick a fight with them.
She wanted to start campaigning in the line. I love it.
God bless
her. The apple doesn't fall far from the tree in the Moore's house, does it?
Get that funny feeling in the morning.
Bet, Cozzy and Limo for breakfast.
Dex Fitz.
News for you. Let's go.
Well, as the Liberals are about to vote their new leader in, former deputy leader Julie Bishop has been papped at the airport wearing a beautiful coat, and it would want to be beautiful. They put the price tag. It's a Louis Vuitton at $8,250.
What?
For a coat?
I didn't realise politicians got paid that well.
I mean, she looks beautiful. She always looks stylish.
I just think that it's sad when we're talking about a female politician, we have to talk about what she's wearing rather than what she stands for. That's just me.
I'll tell you what, the Liberal Party could use with a few more women at the moment.
Ah, I wish that she was still around. She would have been a wonderful leader.
I feel like she's always photo ready.
She definitely is. She's always blow dried. And I always, when I see people papped in airports, I always think I look like I've just rolled out of bed when I get to the airport. I'm usually wearing trackies or leggings and sneakers.
Absolutely. When people dress up like that,
And I always feel, because I don't like to wear a jean on the plane, because I feel the seam is uncomfortable.
You know what I'd love to see with that is the $8,000 Louis Vuitton jacket and her wearing a neck pillow as well.
Oh, yeah.
I think that'd be a good combo.
And carrying a box of Krispy Kreme.
And a giant Toblerone.
And some duty-free vodka. That's more realistic, Julie.
Yes.
Now, destination weddings. The Kardashians, Travis and Courtney, as I pretend to know which ones they are.
Yes.
He's the drummer from Def Leppard. No, the drummer from...
Blink-182.
Blink-182.
She's the best Kardashian, I reckon. She's the most, like, I reckon if you had to marry a Kardashian, for me, it would be Courtney. She's, like, loving, caring.
Well, too late. They're getting married or have got married in Portofino.
Oh.
And so we got to talking about destination weddings. You had a destination wedding, Limo.
I did have a destination wedding. Yeah, absolutely. And
where was it? St. Kilda Playground?
It was in Bali. And we kind of expected a few numbers to drop off, but we actually had a pretty good turnout in the end.
Yeah.
But I feel like destination weddings, I've been to a couple of destination weddings where so many people dropped off, I ended up in the wedding party.
As the groom.
Yes.
You're my new best friend. Yeah. I love this meme from one of my favourites on Instagram, Gary Gennetti. I don't believe I know any human being well enough that they should feel comfortable asking me to fly to the Bahamas for a piece of chicken. Not a fan of the destination wedding.
So when you put the destination wedding out, it's a big ask for your family and friends to fly overseas for your wedding.
It is indeed. And my parents actually didn't make it to my wedding.
Oh.
So we live streamed it for them. They watched it. They put suits on. Mum dressed up and Dad put a suit on in the lounge room.
Did they not like flying or what was it?
No, Dad wasn't really able to fly in the end. So they watched it in Loxton. Big question is, though, do you have to get a present at a destination wedding?
Yeah, it's a lot of money to spend and then have to give you a $100 Maya voucher.
I would say no. I don't think.
But then on the day you've got no present, did your people give you presents?
No.
Your people.
My people. No, we didn't get, but we didn't expect any presents. They spent money on airfare.
Did you specify no presents though? You know that little, no presents, just your presents.
Yeah.
Get that Adelaide feeling.
With Bet, Cozzy and Limo for breakfast.
Good morning, South Australians. We hope you had a great weekend. I want you all to think about the relationship you're currently in or one that you've been in the past. Because here's a stat I want you to run over your own relationship. Survey says that women say on average 20,000 words per day, whereas men only say on average 7,000 words per day. Now, we've got a free day out at McLaren Vale to go and see Peking Duck and the Veronicas for you guys to give away here. Mm-hmm. It looks really good, actually.
Yeah, it's a great grapevine gathering happening at McLaren Vale this October. Awesome day out.
On 131060, we're going to send someone along to that for free. We want to know, in your house, is it the other way around? Does the man talk more than the woman in your house? 131060, because I don't think in many houses that would happen.
Is there going to be a single household where the man speaks more, but based on the... Sorry?
The Morse Wakeland household, absolutely.
Really?
I've got a theory that everyone has a limited word count, and when you reach it, you run out of things to say. So talk for 3 hours in the morning. Then when James gets home from work and wants to chat, I'm done. I've got nothing. I've got no
You've
words.
Used all your
I've
words.
Used my words and I'm very tired.
So is that your excuse to hear? Do you say that to him? And sorry, I was talking all morning to the guys.
Listen, if you want to hear me talk, listen from 6 to
5. Do you? Okay. Is it? See, when I hear these stats, 20,000 words, 7,000 words, a difference for me is words heard. That, I think that would be a more telling statistic because I can't even count the number of times that Kel will literally walk out of the room when I'm mid-sentence. I'll be talking to her, telling her something, and then she's just gone. And I'm like, well, what?
Does that come down to your content?
Exactly. Maybe. Being more interesting.
Because when you look at this, right, so 20,000 words a day for the females and the males are only 7,000. That's a 13,000 word
Huge.
Gap.
Yeah.
And in your household, is it that big? In ours, 100%. I would say Sam's more a 25,000 kind of girl, I reckon. Yeah. She would kill me like by miles in the word count.
Right. So she's 25 and you're more like 2 or 3.
About probably 10,000 of hers are yelling at me. Taylor from Seaford Meadows. What about you, mate?
Yes, I am. I definitely am. My partner got a new job recently and he is as a firefighter and he'd come home from his training and he would tell me every single step to put out a house fire. And I'm like, look, I'm not a fiery, but if I ever need to, I know all of the steps or like the rope, like you'll teach me all of the different knots and stuff. And I'm like, just standing there like, okay.
Taylor, have you ever tried my wife's trick where she just walks out of the room mid-sentence?
I couldn't. He's so excited. I couldn't do that to him.
I'm excited for him.
Yeah, that's good. That's lovely. Kate in Hackney, does your partner talk more than you?
Oh, my partner 1,000% talks more than me. He is the expert on any field. It could be mining, it could be politics, it could be midwifery, shopping, cooking, you name it. There's a little lecture that goes along with it.
Okay, Kate, the stats are 20,000 on average for females, 13,000 for men. What do you reckon your husband's churning out a day?
Oh, minimum 60,000.
All right, 131060. Give us a call this morning, Cos.
Yep, keep it going. We want to know, does the man in your relationship talk more than the female? The stats are out, 13,000 for men. Well, there's a difference of 13,000, actually. Women are saying 13,000 more words.
These? Who's following around people counting these?
The irony is, while I'm fumbling my way through this, I'm using up my 7,000 a day.
You're actually fresh out of words.
Charter from Elizabeth Downs. What about you?
My partner, he talks a lot about his cars.
All right. Yeah. So overall, Shara, would he be talking more than you around the house?
Oh, definitely. At least double.
How many cars does he have?
He's only got the two. He's got the Holden and the Ford. He's just talks about what the whole difference is between them.
Yeah, right. And are you into that, Shara? Do you enjoy those chats?
Yeah, I'm a mechanic by trade.
Oh, well done, Shara. starter. Amy and Woodcroft, what's it like in your relationship?
My partner 1,000% talks way more than me. He'll come home and talk about his job, and it makes absolutely no sense at all to me. He's a chip rocker. And then I'll come home and try and talk about my day, and he will just say to me that he's completely zoned out and listen to not a single word.
Oh, that's not very nice. It's give and take in a relationship, and my wife and I find that if we both don't listen to each other equally, it's fair.
Thank you, Amy. Cara in Port Adelaide, does your partner talk more than you?
He normally doesn't, but when it's football day, oh my God, he just drives me nuts. And the worst part about it is I don't even watch football. And I've got to sit there and listen to it.
So do you just smile and nod your way through it, Cara?
I just go, yeah, and then I go, do you actually realise I don't know anything about this and you're explaining about all these different players and I've got no idea?
I'm assuming, due to your postcode, that it's the power that he's barracking for.
Oh, no, no, no. It's the Crows, love. It's the Crows. Come on.
Oh, okay. Cara, your line's just breaking up a little bit there.
Come on. Beck wants to speak to Cara's partner. Tom, in Kensington, what's the deal in your house on the word count?
Well, I'm a teacher. I teach English, and I speak heaps by day. You know, I got 7 classes, and I'll speak 20, 30 minutes each class. And then I get home and I'll keep going on and tell my wife what's gone wrong and all the kids doing this and that and the other thing. It's pretty funny, though. She's in sales and marketing yet. She'll calm down and have to take all that on board while I just keep going off and downloading, I guess.
And in your English class, what do you find? Are boys or girls more chatty in class?
Well, that's it. In the classes, it's funny. The boys are definitely won't shut up and never listen, but the girls will sit there patiently listening. Mm. But even on the level of writing, of course, the girls are more prolific and they'll actually have higher word counts and very, very expressive on the page. But in the classroom, they tend to be a little bit more quiet.
Yeah. There you go. All right, Tom, well, thanks so much for your call.
That's because boys are badly behaved. Yeah. I think that's what that is. Anyway, women out there, if you are living with a bloke who talks all
the
time and will not stay quiet around the house, you can blame this.
Oh, shut up with your face.
Yeah, okay.
Get that funny feeling in the morning.
Bet Cozzy and Limo for breakfast.
Hey, we had our election party on Saturday night, and I know you guys were really jealous.
No, I was going to pop in, but I had to remove some ingrown hairs.
Oh, really? Really? How very droll.
Also, you gave us no updates through the night. Yeah, no updates.
I know. Look, well, I was very distracted because there was an election on. The results were flooding in. I was trying to keep up the speed with everything. And, you know, I took this thing very seriously. I had 2 televisions going. I had one on Channel 7 on mute. I had the other one on the ABC, volume up, of course.
Oh, yeah.
And then we had about a dozen people come over. Kel puts music on at one
point. Oh,
don't. Oh, no. Like, come on, Kel.
Not a dance party, babe. It's an election party.
Was it political music? Maybe a little bit of Peter Garrett?
She's just putting on. It was like Queen or Elton John or something. I'm like, what are you thinking?
Yeah.
I can't hear the updates from Anthony Green with Elton blaring in the background. Right? So I make her turn the music up. She wasn't happy about that. Then I had 2 mates turn up who wanted to watch the Crows play. I'm like, can we all just understand that this is an election party? If I'm big on one thing, it's staying in your lane.
I know what you're saying. My wife was so excited to have her friends over for this election party, similar kind of thing.
Yeah.
Anyway, her and her friend Sue got there, and all they did was talk about Kelly and dance the whole time. And I said to my mate Brent, these 2 were the ones that were excited about the election party. They're not even watching the TV.
Mm. Yeah, well, you've got to stay in your lane. I can't stress it enough. If I have a grand final party at my house for people to come and watch the AFL grand final, I'm not putting dance music on and handing out glow sticks, am I? We're watching the footy.
Yeah.
That's what's happening.
Yeah, yeah.
So I reluctantly hand over the television that was on that was on mute to my mates who want to watch the Crows. They're annoying me, right? But they have to watch the Crows with the volume down. And then occasionally when a good speech comes on, I'm like, everyone shh, and I start shushing the room.
Oh, it's Sturt, guys. Oh, it's Booth B.
I'm shushing the room. Yeah. It's Frydenberg's concession speech. Shush.
How excited did you get when you were watching the election and South Australia came on? Like, because it felt like ages. It's like all these other states are getting, you know, talked about. And then, it's South Australia. What's happening here?
It was very excited. The whole thing was exciting. Then ScoMo gave his concession speech. There were a few high fives around the room. And then we turned it up for Albo's speech. It was, you know, I got to say, it was a lot of fun. I thought. Everyone else had different reviews of the party. It was literally, once Albo had given his speech, there were four people hovering over the music, ready to just turn it on. They said, right, can we? I said, okay, you can have it now. Turn it up. And then they said, but the election party, I think it was a lot of fun. I give it 5 stars. Everyone else gave it about 1 star. I realised I was the only person at one point listening to the television. I'm standing about 6 inches away from the TV with my ear pressed up against it while everyone else is talking around me.
That's just because of your eyesight.
Get that Adelaide feeling.
With Bet, Cozzy and Limo for breakfast.
As he travels around this great big state, he's meeting folks that are just as great. If there's a story to tell, then give him a yell. South Aussies with Cozzy.
Now, the other day I was filming at Tail and Bend, and I love Tail and Bend. It's a cute little town. Mm. And I was standing in a park, and I looked down, and there was some rubbish on the ground. Mm. And I was inspired recently by a letter to the editor that was written in by some lady, and she describes herself as, I'm an old duck, and she witnessed a young lad walking, who stopped, picked up about half a dozen bits of paper and put them in the bin.
Yeah.
She said, I don't know who he was, I just wanted to thank him and I thought it was beautiful. Right. I've sort of been a bit inspired by that. So when I was standing in the park at Tail and Bend, I thought, I saw this rubbish and I thought, look, I'll just pick that up and I'll toss it out. Anyway, so I picked up the first bit of paper and I went, oh, is that a receipt or something? So being a nosy journalist, I opened it up. And it was someone's name and phone number.
Ooh.
But above it had written something that's got me so intrigued.
Yeah.
Above the name, which is Michael, and the phone number, it says Worm Harvester.
Wow, right. That's a real specific job.
Yeah.
Worm Harvester Michael.
Mm.
What on earth does Michael do for a job? Who is he?
Mm.
And why is his name and phone number screwed up in a park in Tail and Bend?
Maybe it was a code name for someone working locally there. Maybe it's a spy. Could be a spy.
Oh, I see. So if the wife finds it in the pocket, it's like, oh, no, that's the worm harvester, not my special friend.
He's worm harvester.
How long has he been harvesting your worms? Just tell me.
I deserve to know. We had little worms together. Anyway, so I really want to call this number. Now, I couldn't do it myself. I needed to do it in the comfort of you guys.
Okay.
Okay, let's call Michael the worm harvester.
All right.
This could go in any direction.
Hello, Michael Meakin speaking.
Oh, hello, Michael. My name's Cozzy. I'm here with Beck and Limo from the SAFM Breakfast Show. How you going, mate?
Good, mate. How are you?
Good. I do apologise for the random call. We're just calling you back because I was in Tail and Bend yesterday and I was picking up some rubbish in the park and I picked up a note and it had your phone number on it and above it said, Michael Worm Harvester. And, mate, it's got me buggered. What on earth is a worm harvester and why was your name on a piece of paper screwed up in the park at Tail and Bend?
Let me think. It'd be my son. My son owns a worm business. They supply worms to fishing shops. And we're getting it shipped from Werribee to Derrimock. So I don't know what it's doing in Tail and Bend.
Right. So where are you right now? Where are you based, Michael?
In Werribee, Melbourne.
Yeah, right.
Oh. Have you ever been to Tail and Bend, South Australia?
I reckon I went there as a kid.
Yeah. Well, for some reason, mate, I picked up a bit of rubbish yesterday. Yeah. We work for the local radio station in
Adelaide.
Yeah,
you've got no idea who we are.
Yeah.
And,
No idea, never heard of you.
No. Michael, half your luck.
Yeah.
So, mate, basically I was filming for a TV show there and I thought I'd just pick up a couple of bits of rubbish and one of them was a piece of paper and it says on it, Worm Harvester, Michael, and your number.
Yeah,
there you go. So has it got a, it was just like a handwritten note?
Yeah, mate, just a scrap piece of paper.
Okay, there you go. Well, my son's got a worm business. They supply tackle shops with worms, and they got a worm harvester which they're shipping from Werribee to Derrimox, and it's on a website where they sort of quote for who's going to ship it. Yeah. And I say that's where it's come from.
Wow, there you go.
So there must be someone in Tail and Bend who's looking to
harvest worms,
a truckie or something. Yeah.
Right. Hey, so Michael, just to be clear, a worm harvester.
Yeah. What?
It's not referring to an individual, it's referring to a piece of machinery, is that right?
Yeah, so what it is, you put the, you grow the worms in like bins and then you tip the bin in and it separates the worms from the dirt.
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh, on, that's what the worm harvester does.
Let's give your son's business a plug.
Give the business a plug, mate. Go for
it. It's called Janjuk Fishing Worms.
Yep.
You can buy them online, fishingworms.com.au. They ship them all over Australia.
Yeah, there you go.
Tell us, why are his worms better than the competitors?
Well, they're fatter and bigger and they catch more fish.
There you go.
It's like a colander for worms.
Well, Michael, thank you so much. You have ended the mystery that is this little bit of paper in Taylor and Benson. Yeah. Thanks so much for chatting to us, mate.
Worries,
we appreciate it.
Get that funny feeling in the morning.
Bet Cozzy and Limo for breakfast.
We have a change of government. The new Prime Minister is Anthony Albanese.
My fellow Australians, it says a lot about our great country that the son of a single mum who was a disability pensioner, who grew up in public housing down the road in Camperdown, can stand before you tonight as Australia's Prime Minister.
Young good enough to get better at saying his name.
Yeah, but good on him. It is a great story, isn't it? And remember when the Labor Party was split down the middle? He was the good bloke in the middle between Rudd and Gillard, trying to mend everything the whole time. So good on you, Albo.
He wasn't very happy about the crowd cheering during his acceptance speech.
If you wait, I know it's been a long night. But if we can dial it down a little bit.
So he told him to dial it down just a little bit. And you would think when the new Prime Minister tells you to shut up,
shut up.
No, you don't.
Oh, God.
Down. No. Can we have order, please? Can we have a bit of order? I intend to run an orderly government and it starts here, so behave. All right.
So now, when Beck and Limo, when you two get out of line, it's made it very easy for me because all I'm going to do is play this.
Down. No.
Sounds like you're talking to a dog trying to hump his leg.
That's what it sounded like. You know how you had that dog in his campaign? It sounded like the dog had just ran through a muddy puddle and he had decided to wear his white jeans. And then this happened.
Down. No.
Get that Adelaide feeling.
With Bet, Cozzy and Limo for breakfast.
What?
Just another Mum Fail Monday.
Mum Fail Monday.
This is a bad one, guys. In fact, I've been sitting on this for a few weeks because I'm reluctant to expose really how neglectful I was. Okay, a couple of Friday nights ago, Ports playing at Adelaide Oval. Friday night footy. Unmissable.
Mm. Yeah.
Miller comes home from school that day and says, "Oh, Mum, I've been called up to play netball to fill in tonight. We're playing at the Anzac Highway Courts." And I said, "Perfect. You can Uber in with Mummy and she'll just sort of throw you from the moving vehicle onto the Anzac Highway Courts." Can't watch your dial because I'm watching Port.
Yep. Yeah.
And then arrange for another mum to drop her home.
Perfect.
Thought we're all sorted. Left on time. We're in the back of the Uber. She's in her Nettie uniform. Chat. We get halfway to the city and she just goes white and says, "Mum, I'm not playing. The game's not at Anzac Highway Courts. The game's at Sacred Heart."
Oh, no.
Brighton Road, complete opposite direction.
You pausing slightly. How old is she again? 10?
She's 13. This is
13.
The middle child.
Sorry, mate. You would have taken that news fairly well.
Yeah. In my head, I go, do I turn the Uber around, get her to the netball game, miss the first quarter of the footy? So I just, in a panic, go, "Pull over!" to the Uber driver who's on, I think we're on like Sir Donald Bradman, so we had to go down a side street.
Yep.
And I'm like, "Right, I'm going to get another Uber to rendezvous with our Uber."
Oh, wow.
"And take you to Sacred Heart."
Hang on, you're throwing her solo into an Uber?
She's 13.
Okay.
But look, in hindsight...
Was it dark?
No, it wasn't dark yet. Then I realise I can't call an Uber while I'm in an Uber.
So then
I try and get a taxi. I try and call a taxi. I can't get a taxi. Then I ring James and get him to call her an Uber on his app. So Uber arrives. We're heading in opposite directions. I think I'm done. I think she's safely on the way to Sacred Heart while I'm on the way to the food.
Hey, you reckon you think you're done? What about your Uber driver?
He wasn't happy. He waited a good 10 minutes on the side of the road while I got this sorted. I think I would have got a really bad rating, but I didn't check because I was too scared.
Right.
So then,
it's more the rating from your daughter that I'd be concerned about.
Well, she was apologetic. I said, "This is your fault. You got the venue wrong."
All right, that's why mummy's throwing you in an Uber on your own and sending you halfway across
the city.
I said,
text me the second you get there. I want to make sure you find the courts. Let me know.
What, won't take a call?
I get to the football and I don't hear her repeated calls because I've just dropped the pin.
Hang on.
I've just dropped the pin at Sacred Heart and it's a big place. Yeah.
Oh, no.
So she arrives, can't find the netball courts.
Yeah, Sacred Heart's massive.
Really? You went there?
I went there. It's huge. It's a big campus.
So finally she gets a hold of her father who directs her to the netball courts. She misses the first quarter. Disaster. Oh,
great.
Anyway.
As long as mum didn't miss the first quarter.
And it was great because at least we had a win.
Oh, well, good on her. Well, well done. At least they had a win to finish the night.
Oh, no, Port Adelaide had a win.
Oh, my God.
Get that funny feeling in the morning.
Bet Cozzy and Limo for breakfast.
Wasn't the weekend's weather absolutely beautiful?
Oh, so nice.
Like, I just drove around the Adelaide Hills yesterday just spotting pictures of absolute beauty, the trees that were changing colour, the sheep in the paddock that are having lambs at the moment. Oh. Like, blue skies, green grass, Adelaide and South Australia is looking gorgeous.
And we'd like to welcome David Attenborough to the show.
Yes, and you got your easel out on the side of the road and started painting.
I painted for hours. Yeah. First I did a sketch. That was just of a bakery.
Yeah.
Anyhow, we stayed at Marion Holiday Park, which is down near Flinders Hospital. And again, every morning I woke up and looked at the sky. I was like, how nice is this? Mm. How about this though? It was cold, agreed, cold.
Yeah.
Our kids, this is yesterday morning, at must have been about 9 o'clock, went swimming.
Yeah, nah.
Why were they doing that? I mean, it wakes you up, gets you ready for a big day.
I put it down to lack of brains. But there were also, I just at first thought it was our kids. I thought, oh, genetically they must be inferior. And then everyone else's kids were swimming too. It was so cold.
Well, I feel like you're at the Marion Holiday Park. The pool's there. You've got to use it.
Yeah. And I'm there shouting them to get back on their iPads.
Is it a heated pool?
No.
It's no.
Well, they do have a heated pool, but they were swimming in the non-heated part.
Okay. That's the bit that makes them idiots.
Anyhow, after I sort of digested how stupid my own children were, it came time to drop one of their friends home. And the little girl, Dom, she's 12 years old and she's Charlie Rose's friend and her mum works at South Aussie with Cozzy. So I was dropping her home and I'm driving her and it's just her and I. So I'm making small talk, which is always a bit weird with a kid because you're driving small talk, you know, yeah, she's in the front. Yeah. I'm basically like an Uber driver that's not getting paid.
Yep.
And anyway, so then she says to me, what's it like working with my mum? I said, well, I find your mum very funny and your mum makes me laugh. And I said, the thing about your mum is every time I get to work, your mum's always smiling and happy and she always makes me laugh. She turns, she looks out the window, she goes, wouldn't hurt her to bring some of that home.
Oh, what?
Get that Adelaide feeling.
With Bet, Cozzy and Limo for breakfast.
ING Bank has put out a report called The Sense of Us. And it's meant to capture the things that Aussies are doing that make them unique. So, for example, they've said that 41% of people surveyed have found new friends on social media. I've never found a new friend on social media.
Yeah, I have. But yeah, I spend a lot of time there.
Who did you find?
Well, I met someone online who lived in Byron Bay, and when we went to Byron, I messaged and said, do you want to catch up?
Oh, right. That is...
it felt awkward.
Yeah.
I haven't seen them since.
A boy or a girl?
A girl?
But you did go and catch up with him.
Hey, James, I'm just meeting this guy I've been DMing in Byron. Yeah. It was a woman.
Met him on the socials. Seems like nothing sus. You ever made a new friend on social media?
Short term.
Right.
No, I never have.
So I have 51% of people surveyed use emojis in work emails, which apparently is non-professional. I use emojis all the time in work emails.
Oh,
yeah, same
really.
Here. Yeah. Only when I send an email from my phone, that's the only time I can do it. So I overdo it when I'm doing that.
When you're doing that. But here's the stat that's getting all the chat from this survey. Is it a third of Australians have said they care about their pets more than their siblings?
Ooh, ouch.
Where do you reckon? So now a few years ago, I did a show at the Fringe here called The Family Lifeboat, and it was about the order in which Kel said she would save us all if we're on a sinking boat. And I, of course, came last after the dog and the two cats.
You're a competent swimmer, though. Oh,
yeah, that was kind of her defence. Yeah, but you can swim. The cats can't swim. I've got to get them in the lifeboat first. Where would the dog sit in your house, Beck?
He's the only person who's excited to see me when I get home.
Yes, see?
The only person. Yes. So I'm pretty high.
I could be home sometimes for hours and I haven't even seen Kel. I'm at the front door and that dog's right there. What about the dog in your house, Coz?
No, 100%. The way my wife talks to our cat, Poppy, I always hear her in a different room talking to the cat, and I just think, why can't you talk to me like that? Like, I want to be talked to like that. I want you to be excited to see me.
The thing with pets, see, I look at our dog. My love for our dog is a constant 9 out of 10.
Yeah,
doesn't change.
Righto.
And the dog's love for me is constant as
10
well.
10 out of 10, probably.
Where is my love for my son and my wife?
Oh.
It goes up and down a little bit.
Yeah.
And sometimes they drop below the dog. So sometimes I get that you would love the dog more than the other people in your house.
My wife loves my cat more than me so much that I would be fairly confident if I like hurt my leg that she would put me down.
Get that funny feeling in the morning.
Bet Cozzy and Limo for breakfast.
Quite a bit of controversy at the election party. But one of the highlights was when we saw ScoMo say this.
3 years ago, I stood before you and I said I believed in miracles. I still believe in miracles. I still believe in miracles as I always have.
And because we work at a radio station and it's our job to do stupid things, we decided to do this this morning.
I believe in miracles. I still believe in miracles.
Thank you.
I'm not sure that works.
Get that Adelaide feeling.
With Bet, Cozzy and Limo for breakfast.
We're giving tickets to the Danger Zone.
Yeah, we can't wait. Top Gun Maverick's in cinemas Thursday. Yeah. You can book your tickets now for VMAX at Event Cinemas, eventcinemas.com.au.
Yeah, but we want to take a bunch of you to the movies with us on Wednesday night, so you'll be the first person to see it. You'll have bragging rights. And how you win those tickets is to call in with your favourite movie quote. Doesn't have to be Top Gun. And we will try and guess it, which will be hard for Cozzy because he doesn't seem to watch it.
No, I'm not real good at this.
So make sure you don't tell us the movie.
Yes.
Have the line ready to go.
Yeah, we want you to act it out.
Oh, yes, a character.
Let's do it. Have you got one, Ben?
Yeah, I've got one. Okay. I think this is really easy, but we'll go, you had me at hello.
Oh, it's Jerry Maguire.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say When Harry Met Sally.
Oh, you'd let him answer first. For comedy.
Now, it doesn't have to be a Tom Cruise movie.
No, I just
movie.
Went with that one.
Was it? It can be anything. Coz, have you got one? 8 seconds.
Ain't goddamn good enough to ride the bull.
any other movies?
Well, I saw that one a lot of times, but you can't handle the truth.
Oh,
that's a few good men.
Yeah.
Another Tom Cruise
one.
What about this one?
You haven't seen it though, have you?
No.
I'll call in my son Laddie for this one. Can you guess the film?
We got no jobs. We got no money. Our heads are falling off!
Dumb and Dumber.
Yes.
Dumb and Dumber is like the best movie.
So many quotes from Dumb and Dumber.
So good.
So you're telling me there's a chance.
Candace in Flagstaff Hill, what's your movie line?
Morning, guys. It is smoking.
Smoking!
We need to leave that for you, Lee. That's
of
one of
course
your favorites.
Is, yeah. Jim Carrey in The Mask recently showed that movie to my 5-year-old son, and he loved it.
Well done, Candace, coming along Wednesday night to see Top Gun at Event Cinemas.
Let's go down to Christie's Beach. Kelly's down there with the movie for us to try to guess. What is it, mate?
Hello. It's Oh, Honey, You Bait.
Yeah, have a listen from the movie.
Oh, honey, you baked.
I say this all the time, but I'm trying to place it. Is it Clueless?
It is.
Yeah. It is.
My other favourite line from Clueless. Do you know what time it is? Dad, you know my watch doesn't go with this outfit.
Kelly, we'll see you Wednesday night. Funny. Well done.
Very good. Good job. Megan in Morphett Vale. What's your movie line?
Okay, this is one of mine. I'm going to try and do the voice and everything.
Okay.
Okay.
And it goes... And when my eyes are closed, I see you for what you truly are, which is ugly. We're done.
I'm not sure.
I don't know this one. You've stumped us.
Can you give us a clue, Megan?
Yeah.
Amanda Bynes.
Oh my gosh. Yes. Is Cameron Diaz in it as well?
No.
what is it, Megan? What's the movie?
She's the man.
Oh, okay. Megan, you're still coming along. We'll see you Wednesday
you
night.
You stunned us. Well done. I don't know. I don't think I've seen that one.
No, let's go to Kristen, sorry, in Seacon Gardens. What's your movie?
Yeah.
Like?
Okay, you ready?
Yep.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn.
Red. You go. Where shall I go? What shall I do?
Wow. well.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn.
They overegged it back in the day, didn't they?
I remember going to the premiere of that one. Gone with the Wind, Kristen.
Yeah.
Yes, it is. Beck, Cozzy and Limo. SAFM.